CliffCentral.com.
The more that I know you, the more I want to. Something inside needs change. I was so much younger yesterday.
Nice choice, Sia. See, I'm glad I can rely on you.
Oh, you see, it's only when you're right in the thick of a song that you recognize how, like, saucy it is for no reason.
Here's what we're doing next week. In fact, we've got enough time this week. Tomorrow is Sia's day.
He's going to choose. Song choices.
Hey, you're going to choose. You only get three because we don't play more than three.
You made that sound like it's a day, Sia's day.
Yeah, Sia's day
like
tomorrow.
Wednesday, Thursday, right. Sia's day.
So I'm writing this down. Sia fantastic. Tomorrow, that's Wednesday. Then Mabali on Thursday.
Okay.
And then Ben, you get Friday.
Nice.
I like.
All right. Very nice. You get to give me three songs and we'll see who... and you get to vote, by the way. If you listen to us every morning, you get to choose who did the best job. And they will get to the top of the list for next week. In other words, we'll start taking their suggestions seriously. Because I get people saying to me, you play crap, or, yeah, I love your stuff. No one seems to be able to make their minds up. Listen to Ariana Grande singing Dangerous Woman a cappella. Tell me if you like her voice.
Okay. A mind is open. Oh, what you got? Skin to skin. Oh, my God. Don't you stop her.
Nice voice.
Something about you makes me feel like a dangerous woman.
You can hear that's there's no auto-tune on that. There's a bit of an echo. There's a bit of a reverb. That's all. Otherwise, it's pure. Very pure voice. She's a good singer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Something about you makes me want.
I love this girl's voice. I really do. You remember how beautifully Enrique Iglesias sung that time when he didn't know that they were taking his feed straight off the stage?
I don't remember. I think I might need a little bit reminding.
All right, let me see if I can find that for you.
She's only 23, hey?
Right.
And she's only 1.53 meters tall.
Ben.
She's Luke. Tiny. She's the tiniest.
She's the height of my golf bag.
Yeah, that's exactly right. She's the height of your golf bag.
Perspective.
All right. Thank you, Ariana. Thank you very much. That's enough from you. I think this is the one that we're thinking of, is the Enrique.
All I need is a rhythm divine. Lost in the music, your heart will be mine. All I need is a look in your eyes.
All right, now everybody remembers that one, but do you know that Britney Spears was also caught with her mic on, and this is her real voice?
Obviously,
you want to hear this?
Vegas, you expect a spectacle.
This is one of her choreographers. So listen, here's the real voice. Britney doing a sound check.
Everything that you could imagine to see in a show.
Oh, it's horrible. Isn't that horrible? The real singing voice of Britney Spears finally revealed.
So I don't understand if you guys, you know, diss my singing abilities when with some little effects on it, I could be like a bad Mamma Jamma pop star.
Yeah, but that, I mean...
Just no. Throw like a latex dancing suit on me, like a bodysuit, and
I don't think Sia is that far-fetched. I think with a lot of auto-tune...
Oh, come on.
And, you know, the right...
I agree.
We could all, like, stand a chance.
Guys.
Are you insane?
I actually think I should consider like going to a full-on recording studio with a producer.
Yeah. All right, keep talking.
Get some hear this? Effects on my voice.
Yeah, because that's going to help.
And let's see. We release a
single. You reckon, huh? So,
okay, yeah, not release a single. I don't want to go that far.
All right.
But just to hear a little clip.
I think it's a very bad idea, and I'll tell you why. let's just remind ourselves, before we even get to Sia, the great singing voices of Cliff Central, here is Cat. Remember this horrible song?
Oh no.
You remember this?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, here it comes.
Tumble out of bed, stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower when the blast starts pumping, out on the streets the traffic stops jumping, and folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all talking and no giving, they just use your time. And they never give you credit. If you mess it, I'm crazy. If you let it.
Isn't that beautiful?
In Finnish, she's probably pick of the bunch.
I think that's just terrific.
Yeah, of all of us, yeah, actually, yes, she might be.
Yeah, all right. Sia, your song.
You are just spoiled for choice of my musical prowess.
Well, do you remember you did a version of Whitney Houston?
Oh.
That we used to like to play. Luckily, I think I might have deleted that.
Oh!
I might have destroyed the evidence.
Whitney came back from the grave and said, oh no.
Yeah!
Whitney was so hard.
Shut up, boy.
No. Whitney was so disgusted that she came back and she swore she wouldn't ever take drugs again. That's how bad she was after the event. All right, listen. Enough of this nonsense. We don't need to be playing you bad singing. You've got enough challenges in a morning like today.
Yes.
What else have we got?
So I've been listening to that really amazing podcast called "The No Such Thing as a Fish," and that is by the people who put together the amazing show called QI. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Used to be with Stephen Fry. Now there's an old lady who does it.
Josh, she's brilliant. Okay. I forget what her name is. It's probably Scandinavian-ish.
All right.
So what these guys do is that they basically trawl the internet, not troll, and they get the most incredible stats, piece of information, insights towards history, cultures around the world. And their podcast is 7 Facts from the Week, right? It's right. So good. It's been now made into a TV show.
I like that show. All right. So give me some facts.
So then there's various articles around if you are looking for some information on a rainy day, and they've actually found the best QI facts of all time. So here's just a few.
Okay.
Under extreme pressure, diamonds can be made from peanut butter.
What?
Yeah. Gareth, as a scientist, you can understand what the extreme pressure is, and let's get this going.
You would need, like, the pressure at the center of the earth to make that happen.
But can we bottle that and make it happen?
No. Not that, I don't think it's possible.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the next one then. Tintin is called Tantan in Japan. Because Tintin is pronounced Chin-Chin and means penis in their language.
Ah, well, okay. You don't want to get, you know.
I heard a great story that there was a law firm that opened up an office in Tokyo, and they used to call their management committee Manco, right?
Yeah.
Manco, short for management committee.
Yeah.
And in Japan, in Japanese, Manco means vagina. Oh. So they had to change it to something else.
That's amazing.
So Manco and Chin-Chin, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tan-tan.
No, because chin is penis.
No, tin.
Chin, sorry.
Yeah, sorry, my chin. Japanese is also shitty.
Chin-chin so. Means penis.
All right. So and you can't have tin-tin because it's too much
it's
like
pronounced chin-chin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So in Victorian Britain, when everyone was covered in soot, if you couldn't afford a chimney sweep, you dropped what down a chimney? There's some guesses here.
A 6-year-old child.
Nah.
With a brush attached to their
they
neck.
Did, Mubs is not wrong. You used to do Close. That. Yeah, there was a lot of work for children in chimneys.
Live.
Back in the days where children earned their keep.
Oh.
Live geese is the real answer. So if you couldn't afford a chimney sweep, which must have cost like a threepence back in those days, they would take a live geese because of all the feathers. A
goose.
Oh, okay.
One there was many geese, yeah.
And they would just throw the geese down the chimneys.
Shit.
And that's how cheap life was for them back in those days.
Nice. Well, that's smart.
In 1911...
I just got to say that I do think it was a good thing when they used to put those children in the workhouse.
Exactly, because every family had about 7 anyway.
Right. Yeah. And if you lost 1 or 2, you just made more.
Exactly.
It's a sustainable resource.
Because every sperm was also sacred back then.
Mm-hmm.
The Mona Lisa was stolen in 1911, and one of the suspects was genuinely Picasso.
Yeah, I remember I read something about that. The Mona Lisa, probably the world's most famous painting. That's why it's under such strict security now. Wherever it goes, it's behind bulletproof glass. It's very, very well protected. And it was stolen in the early part of the 20th century. What else you got for us?
Ancient Greeks, they always claimed the sky was bronze because they didn't have a word for blue.
What?
Yeah. They mentioned Greeks.
So their blue was bronze.
Yeah. So they would make up all these things and they just didn't have words.
Were they all colorblind?
Pretty much that too. The shortest war ever was between Britain and Zanzibar. Zanzibar threw in the towel for 38 minutes.
Really? That's kind of lame.
If I was a country, I would be Zanzibar. After 38 minutes.
You're not a fighter. You're a lover.
No, over this.
Especially against the might of the then British Empire. So Zanzibar lasted just half an hour.
Just over, yeah.
In a whole war.
Mm.
But I like that they threw in the towel. They weren't defeated. You see, and that's the good thing about being a quitter. Yeah. You sometimes have your dignity.
The word time is the most commonly used noun in the English language.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you, how often do you use the word time?
All the time.
Wow. There you go.
All right, very nice.
1 in 10 European babies was conceived on an IKEA bed.
Yeah. Keeps steps like that.
And so what, like when a baby is born in a hospital, they go, great, where was the baby conceived?
Yeah.
Well, I think they would look at the total number of beds sold, and then they would say, well, if 80% of the beds in the UK are made by IKEA, then we can calculate that 80% of the babies made in the UK would be IKEA babies.
Yeah, simple.
See, right, this is why we haven't combated like global warming.
Because we're busy looking at
busy
this bullshit. Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, everyone's so shit scared about Donald Trump and the nuclear codes and setting fire to things. Well, Jimmy Carter once sent a jacket to get cleaned, and the codes were still in the pocket.
What?
At the dry cleaner.
What an idiot. Jimmy Carter? Well, wasn't he a cherry farmer or something before he became president? I mean, we complain about Trump being a businessman, right? And a lot of people are worried about him. But Jimmy Carter was, I'm pretty sure he was a cherry farmer.
Well, he was a dumbass, yeah.
Yeah.
That too.
Well, I mean, you know. So, do anyone know what his wife's name was?
Rosalind.
No, Rosalind.
He's still alive.
He's still alive. Yeah, he's the oldest living president. No, sorry. George H.W. Bush, I think, is a little bit older than him. He was born in 1924, Jimmy Carter.
Hey, how's he doing when he was in hospital a couple of weeks ago?
George H.W. Bush?
Uh-huh.
And he's still hanging in there. Do you know that his wife, she was also in hospital at the same time, being treated for a cold or something else. She decided to stay a couple extra nights so she could be with him. Rather than check out early. Oh, isn't that nice? All right.
So the American Secret Service, they had this great plan against Hitler. They tried to spike his carrots with female hormones to change him into a lady.
Of course. Because as we all know, that is exactly what happens.
Now, there is a lot of strange scientific facts and misnomers and all kinds of other things around Hitler.
All right.
But when these guys reveal them, they're spot on. In 1811... A quarter of all the women in Britain were named what?
Elizabeth.
Margaret.
Or Rose. Or
has to do with the royal family.
Some flower. And the name of a flower.
Nearly a quarter of all women in Britain in 1811 were called Mary.
Mary. Okay.
Can you just imagine shouting in the crowd, hey, Mary.
And then every woman turns around and looks at you.
Manchester United is the most hated brand in Britain.
Oh.
And seventh most hated in the whole world.
That is funny.
Because, you know, people talk about branding, but I suppose when you're a really well-known brand, you have equal numbers of haters and people who love you.
The most hated in Britain.
Yeah, because people historically hate them because they were so good.
Yeah.
And you think people who love them were a very small percentage, okay, and then it spread to like global fanfare.
Mm.
But that made people who hated them hate them even more.
Mm.
So it created quite an emotional reaction.
Okay.
Ants are so small that they can survive in microwaves because they can dodge the rays.
Jeez, is that true?
The only thing that can survive in a microwave is an ant.
That's incredible.
In the heat.
Well, the rays.
Well, the rays, yeah, the heat.
Well,
it is more expensive to make the cardboard box than the shredded wheat that comes in it, the cereal.
Like Weet-Bix.
Yeah.
Huh. Well, shredded wheat must be very cheap to make.
Extremely cheap.
I don't think there's
cheap.
Much processing that takes place.
It probably tastes like the box anyway.
You wouldn't be able to tell.
It does.
Pour some milk on a piece of cardboard and you've got the same flavor.
And if you're wondering about the pants that you're in this morning,
mm-hmm.
after 2 weeks of wear, a pair of jeans will have grown a 1,000-strong colony of bacteria on the front.
Oh! Stop, 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 stop.
1,500 to 2,500 in the back.
Mm.
And you'll have 10,000 colonies of bacteria in your crotch.
Mm. Oh.
Wash your pants regularly.
That said, though, who wears their jeans for 2 weeks flat out?
No.
Somebody
who wants 10,000 colonies of bacteria in their crotch, that's who.
Guys.
Oh, is this if you... Wait.
What?
Use your words. There we go.
No, I thought that you meant this is what happens regardless of... So if I'm washing them, I'm not getting rid of 10,000 colonies of bacteria.
Not all
of them. I get rid of every single one of them.
Well, I don't know why. How you washing it? But basically, if you wear your jeans for 2 weeks, that's what's going to happen. 10,000 colonies. Can you imagine? There's so many bacteria. So much bacteria. There'll be wars waged. There'll be countries made.
All right. Very interesting fact, Ben.
Mm.
That's some amazing stuff. Thought-provoking stuff for a Tuesday morning. I got some amazing pictures here from someone, Kyle in Botswana, who said that Hurricane Cyclone Dineo came with force in Botswana. You can see roads in Botswana, which is usually, I mean, it's a dry country mostly. Flooded. The roads are like rivers.
Mm.
Wow.
Look at these pictures. Unbelievable. And then another message here. This is about Ariana Grande. This is from Carl. He says, Ariana Grande is unbelievably sexy. God damn. That's right.
Yeah, I never understood that.
What, you don't think she's sexy?
I get that, like, for me...
She's very cute.
She's like, she's, like, pretty.
She's a bit of a fidget, right?
And she reminds me of a 12-year-old.
Yeah. Well, she's... you can't deny that she's hot. So yeah.
So, have you learned nothing from the Pornhub stats? Teen is one of the top three categories all the time, every time.
Mm. The younger they look, the more appealing they are.
It's a primal need that men have to go back to... It's got to do with conception.
Reproduction or something.
And virility. What's it, Gareth? You use the big words.
This is evolutionary psychology as well. Okay, look, here's something interesting. This is the president. Lucas, you just sent this to me now. Lucas just sent me the president and a little remix of what he said.
We announced that our membership figure stood at 769. Listen properly.
Ah, that's nice. Don't you love that? He's now a techno music star, our president. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk to the guys from EduSciMat about maths and science education, how they've helped to raise the bar there, which, of course, we should all be grateful and pleased about, because there just isn't enough maths and science education going on in basic education in South Africa. So if we can do a little bit here and there to help, that is all going to make a huge difference. And then Jimmy Carter, according to Nick, just so that we can correct something, was a peanut farmer, not a cherry farmer. It was George Washington who tried to cut down a cherry tree, and then when they caught him red-handed, he said, I cannot tell a lie. I did cut down the cherry tree with an axe. That's where the cherries come from, just in case you were wondering. All right, in a moment or two, we will talk to some people from EduSciMat. In fact, to be 100% clear, we're going to speak to someone called Koliswa Koba, who's the group communication manager for EduSciMat. That's coming up next. It is 8:30 on the dot, cliffcentral.com. Good morning, everybody. All right. You know I care about math and science education because I think that's always the measure of how smart your society is. It isn't the arts, as much as that's lovely. It's not where the basis of the economy comes from. You can't do simple addition like I can't do simple addition. You're an idiot. I'm clearly an idiot too. I mean, what can I tell you?
I am sorry.
But if I had only had the ability to learn, like some people do in South Africa, thanks to a company called EduSciMat, and there are lots of great initiatives in South Africa, but this is one of them. They help to build labs at schools. They record an increased pass rate in the country. They've got labs all over the Free State, and they're celebrating 5 years of maths and science innovation in that province. And to help us understand their work and hopefully to spread the word about the kind of work that they do is Koliswa Koba. Good morning, Kolisa. How are you?
I'm great, and yourself, Gareth?
Good. How the hell did you get involved in maths and science education? It's not the kind of thing that happens often in this country.
It doesn't, not at all.
Unfortunately. How did you get into it?
Well, the company EduSummit is a subsidiary of a bigger group called Ntu Ntu, which is headed by Mr. Peter Sibilwani, who's an entrepreneur who's passionate about education. And what he used to do is he used to deliver stationery and textbooks to schools. And he did that for a while until he actually thought to himself, you know what, I want to do something that's going to set me apart from what is happening in the education space. So he traveled to different countries like India, Singapore, China, Brazil, to actually try and see what it is that they're doing differently that we're not doing as South Africans.
Right.
And obviously he came back, and that's where the whole innovation of maths labs comes from. So we know the concept science labs, where you actually do an experiment in a science lab. And of course, once you've done an experiment in a science lab, you're most likely to remember it better than when you read on a textbook. So that whole concept of a maths lab is actually born from the science lab. So he came back, and we actually launched our first maths lab 5 years ago. So,
Happy anniversary.
Thank you. But the company has been existing since 2008, actually, if I may just make that correction.
Sure.
So, it's been a journey and a half, but a very exciting one.
Well, how does it begin? I mean, to build a lab sounds like it's expensive and complicated. Is it?
Look, it's because it was the first of its kind. It's never been done before. We had a bit of challenges. But what we normally do is we don't build a lab from scratch. So we actually take an existing classroom, we actually renovate the classroom, and then we put the math components in the classroom. So you're familiar with, let's say, a nursery school, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, when you drop a child off in a nursery school, it's a colorful classroom.
Sure.
And a child would want to be inquisitive in terms of what's going to come out of this. So what we do is we basically turn a normal classroom, a normal school environment, into an exciting environment that a child would want to stay in. So we put in colors, we put in charts that actually bring mathematics to reality. So a simple concept like we have a chart that is a Moses Mabhida, because the biggest challenge we have in mathematics is that kids can't conceptualize where they're going to be using mathematics. Mm. What am I going to do with this math? So if you're talking quadratic equation, what is that, and how does it affect my day-to-day life? So if you look at things like stadiums, you know, you need mathematicians and obviously architects to put this together. But if you don't have simple maths basic skills, you are unable to conceptualize that. So we have charts that actually talk to these different equations within the classroom that brings mathematics to reality. And what we're trying to say is that let a child get into a classroom and experience mathematics by actually what we have in the classrooms is we have what we call manipulatives, where a child can actually touch and feel and experience mathematics. So if you're talking about a cube,
this like models and things?
This is like models. It's like toys. You know, it's actually mathematical toys.
Mops, you should listen to this. We should have had these when we were at school. We would be better at maths now.
Definitely.
All right. Come on, help us figure this out. All right. So you've got like cubes and spheres and triangles and cones and all that kind of thing.
Definitely. You actually even have something like a scale, you know, like a normal scale that you normally use to bake or whatever the case might be. Mm-hmm. You've got a topic in mathematics that talks about scales and measurements and the whole conversion of mathematics. But, you know, you always have to cram to say, okay, fine, if it's 1,000 millimeters, how do I convert it to meters or whatever, things like that. So within a maths lab, you can actually take an actual scale and actually use an actual scale. So when a child is playing with a scale that looks like a toy, they're actually learning mathematics.
That's awesome. I would imagine also that there's a lot to do with trying to get them to love maths.
Yes.
Like once you figure out you can do it,
definitely,
then you love it.
Yes.
And you want to do more of it.
Exactly.
And once you've figured out how to add, subtract, divide, even do complicated equations, calculus eventually, all that stuff, once you know how to do it, it's fun to do it because you get it right. It's horrible because you get it wrong often.
Definitely.
Huh?
And of course, that hinges at the self-esteem of a child.
Yeah.
And of course, that has a whole ripple effect into everything else. So we're actually turning mathematics into a subject that kids can fall in love with and have fun while they're learning mathematics. And that's what the innovation of a maths lab actually does.
What about a science lab?
Science lab is similar. I mean, what we've put in there is we've enhanced it with technology. So you're familiar with the white screens.
Sure.
And obviously what we have there is interactive content. So you would do an experiment in a science lab, but also before you do an experiment, you would actually watch a video. So a typical example that I like making an example of is the photosynthesis.
Okay.
You know, the whole process of that. You would actually watch a video that talks about that, that actually zooms into a, and it's actually in a cartoon form. So kids, I mean, we know how kids are fond of technology nowadays.
Sure.
And what they watch all sorts of videos on their tablets or cell phone or whatever the case might be. So we actually have videos that speaks to reality of what happens in a cycle like that. And from watching it, and what the concept is actually called CPA, which is concrete, where you touch and feel,
mm-hmm.
pictorial, which is the actual video that brings it to reality, and then of course abstract, which is what you used to, where you write. So we use this the methodology in both these classrooms to try and make sure that the child remembers and recalls everything that they're learning in the maths lab and in the science lab. So we've put in technology and interactive content that we got from our partners to actually make sure that these kids remember everything that they learn in these classrooms.
All right, Kholiswa, help me here quickly. We've got Ben and Mabali. Let's do a quick test with them, and you can mark them out of 10 for their answers. What is photosynthesis? Go. Come here, Ben. You can't sit over there and answer the question. Answer the question from here. Sitting on the sofa being lazy. Go on, Mubs. You go for it.
Photosynthesis is a process used by plants where they absorb the sunlight and the chlorophyll transforms it into carbohydrates or something.
Do you want to give her a point score out of 10 for that?
Sounds like she Googled it, but no.
She got it right.
I promise I didn't.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah, but everyone knew that, though.
Nice one, Mubs.
That's like the easiest thing ever.
All right, Ben. Ben, what is 365 divided by 7?
71.
Anybody know? I can't tell. I can't tell you if it's right or wrong. What kind of success rates have you had?
Look, it's been 5 years. It's been a very exciting 5 years. And more than anything, so we're not focused on the actual numbers, because we're doing this from grade R. And what we actually focus on is the foundation, because the issue that we have in South Africa is people want to make a difference when people are already in matrix. And at that time, it's already late. So what we're trying to do is actually change the quality of education, and not necessarily the numbers. So what we've done is, in the past 5 years, we've actually implemented this in over 800 schools in the Free State. Currently, we're rolling out over 400 schools, 489 schools in Northwest. As a matter of fact, the 23rd of March, we're launching the first maths lab in Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And the success has been great, but more than anything, I think it's changing the perception of that maths is difficult more than anything. And because of that, we've actually seen an increase in terms of the number of students that actually drop maths lit and actually go for pure maths.
Oh, that's
and
amazing.
For us, that is the critical number
because
that we're looking at.
A lot
at.
Of people I've spoken to in education say that maths lit is a complete waste of time. And that if you aren't doing maths, they're just not going to take you seriously in the job market or at university.
Exactly.
Of course, if you start this at grade R, then the ultimate result will be that more people do take maths because a very small percentage of all the students at high school even have maths as a subject.
Definitely,
right?
Definitely. That's the challenge that we are trying to turn around, to say when a child actually enjoys mathematics and science at a very young age, they won't even think about actually taking these as a subject of choice. You know, when they get to grade 10, it won't be a taboo, because it's not, because most of the time they actually choose subjects that they're good in, not necessarily looking at the career choices that there is out there. And because they're doing so bad in mathematics and so bad in science, they drop it just so they can actually go through matric. So when we now get it right from the primary phase, we actually make sure that they actually choose the subjects without even thinking twice, because they've enjoyed it, they've had fun with it, and they've got great results. And therefore, obviously, they just, you know, make sure that they just take the subject and go ahead and obviously explore all the career avenues that there is out there as far as maths and science is concerned.
Kholiswa, how did you get into this? Were you a good maths and science student? Were you all right? Or were you terrible? Come on. Open up. Tell the truth. Come on.
Well, no, not at all. I was not a maths guru, but I think my experience played a very critical role. Given the chance, I think for me it was, if I had this opportunity in a school to actually explore mathematics in this avenue, I mean, I wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't do so well in mathematics. And
you can't
go
to. There's some subjects and some courses you just can't study.
If you don't have maths and science. And for me, it was like, okay, fine. How do I go back and fix that? How do I go back and make sure that we don't have a lot of colleges coming out doing marketing and communications? And I love communications, don't get me wrong, but you know, it wasn't my first choice of career. But I ended up in communications because of my subjects, you know. So I wanted to now go back and remedy the challenges that South Africa is facing today and making sure that the kids actually choose the subject that they want to do and not be determined by the fact that their math results are good or bad.
Let's be honest about the situation in South Africa too. We've got a major problem in basic education when it comes to maths and science. How bad is the problem? Can you give us any indication?
How bad is the problem?
Yeah, I mean, you're dealing in this environment the whole time. You know how many kids are and aren't paying attention. How many kids are and aren't taking these subjects? How many kids are failing in these subjects? How widespread is the problem? And in provinces particularly, like the Northwest and the Free State and Mpumalanga and Limpopo.
Look, the problem is bad from a holistic point of view. But I think in having to work with Free State, which is known as to be one of the most rural provinces that is in the country, we've actually seen that we're not actually the most stupidest country that you can find. No. I think you mentioned this earlier.
No, we're not dumb people.
We're not dumb people at all.
It's terrible education systems, but we're not a dumb country.
I think one of the challenges we have is that our educators are not given the right resources in order to deploy this. So you asked if I was a good maths student or even, but in a primary school, the challenge is that you find one teacher that teaches all these subjects, not one that specializes in math or specializes in science. And in that way, they're not experts in the subjects that they teach in the school. So therefore, there are topics that are difficult for them that they don't understand that, but they would still have to stand in front of a child and actually comprehend this and allow and obviously expect the child to understand it when they can't even conceptualize it themselves. So with resources like what we put in the maths lab, as a child, a teacher can actually use it, actually enhances the teaching methodology as well, where a teacher can actually take a topic that they're not confident in and actually allow a child to watch it and understand it from their point of view by just watching a video or actually exploring these manipulators in a classroom. So the challenges are obviously with our educators, because if the educators are not trained enough as far as math, we don't have experts as far, and it's a fact, you know, we don't have experts as far as math is concerned or even science. We don't have the best teachers in that field.
Sure.
So, and they're the ones that are deploying this subject in the classroom. So, but obviously with companies like EduSciMath, we make sure that we actually help the teachers. We actually train them. Our method obviously has a 5-day training where we actually make sure that they understand all these components of a maths lab, and they actually obviously make sure that every component of a maths lab complement each other in order to make sure that the child can use all 5 senses to make sure that they understand a concept. So if a district like Gariep, which is by far the most rural district.
They basically live in the dam.
You know, if one of the best top students in Free State, I mean, Gariep was one of the top district that came out now in matrix.
Really?
One of the best district that came out in the country. And if a child like that, given the opportunity of using a maths lab and a science lab, can actually become top, it goes to show that there is remedy out there. We just need to obviously give methodology like this a chance in all the schools, and we're not far off. I think we're getting there, you know, one step at a time, and we'll get there.
Well done to EduSciMath for making the difference that you guys are, and maths and science are the way that we'll start new industries. We'll develop the best tech, we'll have people who can put innovative ideas into action.
Definitely.
Because a lot of it is a practical problem, not necessarily a theoretical one.
Yeah.
And if you've got the numbers and you've got the basic fundamentals in physics and chemistry and arithmetic and geometry and all of those things right, the rest is easy. Well done to you guys.
Thank you.
And nice to have you here this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Very interesting stuff. EduSciMath. If you want to find out more, just follow them on Twitter at edu, sci, first 3 letters of science, first 3 letters of maths, Matt, EduSciMath. You can find out more. Thank you to Koliswa Kwaba, who's the group communication manager for EduSimat, and we'll hopefully see you again soon.
Thank you.
Keep on making those kids smart.
Well,
all right, we're going to wrap it up this morning with some news, which we'll get to in a second. I know there are other things happening today. Tomorrow's the big budget speech by Pravin Gordhan. You're not excited about that.
Well, it doesn't sound like there's much to be excited about, Gareth.
No, there isn't.
I'm about to have less money than... Yeah.
But you stop it now. Chin up. How dare you be depressed?
I'll be depressed for one day, and then I will...
No, you won't. You're going to be depressed every month when when you see how much more it costs you and how much less you have. Great move by the government that they've decided that they're going to let the finance minister increase taxes. Well, that's the rumor. We don't know until it actually happens. And then there are other rumors that he might even be fired the next day. So he'll put up the taxes and then get fired. That's why I was saying earlier, if Pravin has any balls, he'll do one of two things. Number one, he'll put taxes up so that everybody revolts and we have a complete revolution. Or he'll bring them down so much that the government have no money. And then we'll have to have a revolution of a different kind. What do you think? Is that the most dangerous thing you've ever heard? I don't know. Some people are saying that that might not be a bad idea. Loads of rain today, so please drive carefully wherever you are and take it easy on the roads. You know people lose their minds in the rain. And a lot of people are nervous about driving in the rain for good reason. The roads are like rivers. And I just got pictures from someone in Botswana who said, Kyle, he said that it's insane up there as well. Now, Botswana is not, you don't think of it as a wet country, yeah?
Not typically, no.
Yeah, this is Cyclone Dineo at work. All right, everybody, thank you very much for joining us this morning. What's wrong, Ben? You having some trouble?
My computer's just spinning.
Is it dying?
Yeah, no, it's just doing that thing where...
Oh, the beach ball of death.
It asks you to do something and then, yeah, it's, just, right, it's just not working, Gareth.
Don't panic. Don't panic, Ben. We will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9, and stay with cliffcentral.com today for lots of interesting shows, including The Good Stuff, including Laws of Life with Gary Hertzberg, and plenty more right here, just for you. If you haven't tried out any of those shows or you want to see what's on the menu, go to cliffcentral.com for more details. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Cliffcentral.com.